We're doing the laws of kashrut. We're continuing with the second chapter, the second halakha. Hayta chatichat basar achat. There was one piece of meat. Mechatichot habasar shebetoch hagdera omedet kula michutz larotem. One piece of meat was bobbing above all the gravy. So maybe it was on top of another piece of meat, but you have a piece of meat sitting on top of all the gravy. And this piece of meat that's sitting on top of another piece of meat, so it's sitting above the gravy, some milk spills on that piece of meat. So you see a little puddle of milk on that piece of meat. What? If right away, before the piece of meat absorbed all the milk, so then yisapeg means to be absorbed. He puts the piece of meat inside. So then kol mashavek teira mitzaref levatel b'shishim tachalav shenishpach. So then it gets. The flavor dissipates, meaning if my piece of meat is standing outside and my puddle of milk seeps into that piece of meat, so then that piece of meat becomes non-kosher, and then I need 60 corresponding to that piece of meat. But if the piece goes into the gravy, and now it's in the gravy, and everything cooks together, so then I say I need 60 corresponding to the milk, not to the whole piece. Meaning if the piece would have sat above the gravy and absorbed the milk, then that piece becomes non-kosher, and then I need 60 corresponding to that piece. But if before that piece absorbs the milk, everything goes down and mixes, and the logic is simple, because as it mixes, so then the milk mixes within the flavor of the whole pot. And if right away this happens, so then that piece of meat did not get a chance to absorb and become treif yet. Before that piece of meat absorbed the milk, right? A little bit of milk spills. You have a little puddle on top of the meat. Now everything mixes. And now before that piece of meat became non-kosher, everything mixed. So then I say the whole flavor mixes to annul that milk. Now, whether you're allowed to do that is another question, because we have a rule of ein mevatlin isur lechatchila. We're not allowed to lechatchila to initiate the annulment of a prohibition. I'm not allowed to say, I have my chiln pot. Let me pour in a drop of milk. Oh, now it dissipated. Kosher. I'll pour in another drop of milk. It dissipated. Kosher. But wait a second. Halachically, after a drop of milk falls into your chiln pot, if you have 60 corresponding to that drop of milk, it does dissipate and it is kosher. But you're not allowed to initiate that. So here the difference is that the milk already spilled. I didn't initiate it. The milk is already in the pot. Only right now the milk is on this piece. And after it's mixed, the milk is within the whole pot. So being that it's already in the pot, so then the mixing it is not called, I annulled it lechatchila. I didn't initiate this situation. The situation landed on me.
Questions at the end?
Let's see. And the same would be if right after the milk spilled on one piece, you'd put the lid on. So then everything in the pot will combine to annul the milk. Because what happens when you put the lid on? The steam comes up and everything starts becoming one simmering pot. So long as it's open, I say that the piece above is its own piece. But once you put the lid on, then because the steam connects the whole pot, I consider everything as one. I don't look at it as one piece alone sitting with the milk. Because what will happen as the steam goes up and things will bubble, that the pot will actually, everything will mix. So that also is another way of ensuring that everything is united to annul the milk that spilled. Let's say you didn't do that. You had a piece sitting above the chulent. It's bobbing on top. It's floating on top. A little puddle of milk spills on it. Miyad shenshpach ha-chalav and kol ma shebakteram tzav levateb shishim tachlav shenshpach la-ktera shemuchutz la-rotev. So then what happens? Your piece of meat became non-kosher. Now the rest of the chulent on bottom, all the gravy and the meat, they don't combine to annul the milk because the milk sat on one piece on top. And that one piece stayed on top on an open pot. So the heat of the pot causes that piece to be hot. That piece absorbs the milk alone. So the milk gets absorbed into one piece, and that piece becomes not kosher. So if you're talking about a big chunk of meat, you're making a lot of meat, you have one big chunk sitting on top, the drop that falls enters that piece of meat. Well, if that piece of meat is so big that you have 60 times the drop of milk, then that's kosher. But if you don't have 60 times the drop of milk, so then that piece of meat becomes prohibited because it's meat that cooks with milk. And then I say, okay, now this chunk of meat, you remember the concept we discussed last week? That piece becomes like non-kosher meat. Now I need 60 times that piece in order to annul its flavor. Now I say that one piece became like non-kosher meat. It is a mixture of meat and milk. Yeah.
And then you take out the piece.
Right. We have much more details to discuss. A lot more. The question is how many details we should go into over here. Okay, there's one more detail which we're not going into, which is what happens if the piece of meat does not go into the pot. It stays on top. We said our piece of meat was bobbing on top of another piece of meat. So we described that if that piece of meat absorbs the milk, so that piece of meat becomes non-kosher. And then if it mixes into the pot, so then the piece of meat, well, you'll need 60 times the flavor that it emits. There's another question, which is, what happens if it does not go into the pot, if it stays on top? And now you'll take it off. Well, what did it do to the piece of meat beneath it, or to the other pieces of meat it touched? So that's a question you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi. There are details, I don't think we should go into the details of how one piece of meat transmits flavor to another piece of meat when they're not cooking together in a pot. Meaning, that's the question. If the piece remains bobbing above the gravy, so what about all the other pieces of meat that touch it? So there, it's a little bit too complex. I don't think we should go into that here. If that ever happens, all of these things, if they ever happen, you have to ask. We're learning concepts, not to come to halachic conclusions, but as concepts. So we basically described the more common situation, or none of this is common, but the situation where the piece of meat then goes into the gravy and mixes with the rest of the meat. But what happens if it stays on top? So there you have a lot to discuss. That's not what we'll go into. And again, anything we learned until now is not for us to rule at home. When a question comes up, call and ask the question, because we're just getting a taste, a flavor of the halachot.